Let me share with you again the opening verses from the epistle, from Hebrews 12. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This is our text. This morning, our theme is running for joy. Now, most of you don't know that I am a runner. Of course, I don't run 5 miles anymore. Not that I ever ran 5 miles at any one time. Actually, maybe 5 miles might be the total of a lifetime of running. Frankly, running looks like hard work to me, especially marathons. And I have great admiration and respect for people who condition their bodies to compete in any sport. And there's good reason that we're dealing with the theme running for joy today, because what were we just told in the epistle? To run with perseverance the race that was marked out for us. Well, in May of 1954, an Englishman by the name of Roger Bannister ran a mile in less than 4 minutes. Now, to our young people, that might not sound so extraordinary. I mean, after all, hundreds of runners have finished the distance in under 4 minutes since then. I even personally know one of them. But the fact is that nobody had done it before Roger Bannister in 1954. In fact, up until that time, many experts thought that the 4 minute mile was physiologically impossible. But Roger Bannister set a new standard, and he showed us what was possible. And the really striking thing is that about his breakthrough was that once he had done it, and once he had proved that it was possible, 37 other runners broke the 4 minute mile barrier within the next year. So evidently the limit was not in our bodies, but the limit was between our ears. And that's the first reason that we're dealing with that theme, running for joy. Another reason, you know, take a look at our text from Hebrews. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin that clings so closely. Let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. See, Jesus, or the writer of Hebrews, calls Jesus the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. In other words, just like Roger Bannister, Jesus ran the race before us. And Jesus showed us what is possible. And Jesus paved the way for us to experience a glorious victory. So let's consider for a moment, what is required to be a great runner, as well as a champion of our faith? Well, first comes the training. I mean, if you're going to be a champion at any endeavor, you have got to be willing to give your best. Pastor John Ortberg once said something that I think is enormously important. He was speaking on that biblical admonition to train for godliness. And here's what he said. There's an enormous difference between trying to do something versus training to do it. You see, training means dedicating oneself to regular practice and discipline. I mean, think about it. Anyone can compete in the Tour de France bicycle race, for example. They might kill themselves in the process, but they can try it. But the fact is, only someone who trains every day for that competition can succeed. So let me ask, here's the real question. Are you trying to be a follower of Christ? Or are you training to be a follower of Christ? And I hope you appreciate the total dedication that a champion athlete must have in order to excel. I mean, world champions don't simply materialize out of the air. Hard work is involved, dedication to a demanding discipline. I mean, I'm always amazed at the person who tries to be a follower of Jesus, but yet refuses to train for it. I'm talking about the person who wants to grow spiritually, but doesn't want to spend time in regular Bible study, is casual in their attendance at worship, spends little time in prayerful communion with God, who's not involved in a meaningful way with a small group of fellow Christians who are also in spiritual training. Friends, it doesn't work. No wonder that there are so many would-be followers of Christ that are spiritually flabby, that are miserably out of condition. And so it's no wonder that they stumble and fall so easily. So first comes the training. And part of that training consists of getting rid of impediments. The writer of Hebrews put it like this: therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let's also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us. I mean, the cloud of witnesses, those are those champions of the faith that the writer listed in the preceding chapter. Champions like Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and Rahab and others. I mean, if he had been writing a century later, he would have included Peter and Paul and a host of others who ran the race before us and are now in those stands cheering us on. But the writer knows that there are many people who start the race and do not finish. And so he cautions that we lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely. I mean, a racehorse is handicapped by adding weight to make the race more competitive. But if you are going to win a race, you don't want to be carrying any extra weight. And the writer, of course, is talking about spiritual weight, not physical weight. You don't want anything that's going to slow you down in your effort to be a champion for Christ. You see, that's what sin does to us. Sin, it slows us down. It impedes us from running the race. I mean, not that sin will send us to hell, because Christ had already settled that issue, but our sin keeps us from being all that we could be. And so often, it isn't the big things that trip us up, but the little things. 500 years ago, Leonardo da Vinci told a parable of a tiny nut. And this nut fell into the clutches of a crow, which carried it to the top of a tall bell tower. And just as the crow was all set to devour the tiny nut, that nut slipped from the crow's claws and it fell into a crevice of the wall of the bell tower. And that tiny nut appealed to the bell tower by the grace of God to shelter it and to protect it. Well, the tower was moved with compassion, and it sheltered the nut in the spot where it had fallen. But within a short time, that nut burst open, and its roots reached in between the crevices of the stones of the bell tower and began to push them apart. And its shoots pressed up toward the sky. And those shoots soon rose above the walls of the tower. And as those twisted roots grew thicker, they began to thrust the walls apart and to force those ancient stones from their old places. And then the bell tower, too late and in vain, bewailed the cause of its destruction. And in a short time, it fell in ruin. Well, if there's a better description of the way that sin works, I've yet to see it. I mean, a mild flirtation becomes a destructive relationship. An envious spirit begets slanderous gossip. A few missed Sundays turns into months, and then years away from the community of faith. So let me ask you, is there anything in your life that keeps you from running the race of Christian discipleship? Anything that slows you down? Anything that, if not eliminated, could defeat you? The writer of Hebrews says, let's also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. So first comes the training, and then comes the joy. I mean, the athlete trains with extraordinary dedication for the joy of standing in the winner's circle. And Jesus faced the cruel ordeal of crucifixion. But notice what the writer of Hebrews says about his experience. Who, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, disregarding his shame. I mean, it's hard to think of a cross and joy in the same sentence, but there it is. It's because Jesus looked beyond the present circumstance to the final result, that he could face his ordeal and be triumphant. And as long as you can look beyond your present circumstance to a more satisfying result, you can make it through almost any experience. See, that's what hope is. I'm trudging through mud and wind and rain right now, but ahead lies the finish line. And when I cross it, I will be victorious. You see, the secret of success is to look beyond the present circumstance to the joy that is yet to come. So let me ask you this in closing. Are you trying to be a Christian, or are you in training to be a Christian? Have you laid aside all sin so that you can run the race without being weighed down by any impediment? Do you have an assurance of the joy that is set before us? And if so, then let the race begin. Amen.